From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispal, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispal.com.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of From the Pavilion. I'm Ollie Slackner with you for the next hour with a jam-packed show. No Callum Guest this evening. I'm minus a co-host as he's out playing, I think, in Colchester. I might give him a call later to see how he's getting on. But no Callum today. We'll be back next week. I'm sure he's missing us, and I'm sure you're missing him too. Anyway, coming up on today's show, we'll be talking to City of Ely's Tom Beaumont. We had him on the end-of-season review last year as they won the Senior 3 Division. Well, they're doing pretty well in the Senior 2 Division as well at the minute. We'll chat to him all about their good form. We'll also be rounding up our EPL sides as usual. We're speaking to Cambridgeshire Cricket Club captain Lewis Hill, Saffron Wardens Ben Harris, and Bowen Lexington skipper Joe Tetley too. They didn't play on the weekend, so you're probably wondering what we're going to talk about. We're going to preview this weekend's game, so make sure you stay tuned and listen to them. It's been a terrible week weather-wise, and it continues to be. I'm sure there's a lot of midweek fixtures being called off this evening. That is actually why Tom's managed to get in the studio, so we're sort of grateful. But cricket being cancelled is not what we like to hear, and there wasn't barely any cricket on the weekend. Fingers crossed there will be this weekend, though. On Sunday, Cambridgeshire back in action. They take on Bedfordshire in a T20 doubleheader at Bedford Cricket Club. We're speaking to skipper James Williams, and he'll be playing Who's the Biggest Badger 2. Can we end the streak of three ducks in a row? Take a look at the honours boards as well. Who scored the most runs across Cambridgeshire this weekend? Probably not many people, as I said. I think there was only about 20-odd games played this weekend, so not many games at all. But we'll see. Check those honours boards and see who did well. And, of course, England take on West Indies on Friday at the Aegis Bowl in Hampshire. We'll be previewing that game with Tom, seeing what he thinks and how they'll get on. And also looking back at today's game, Australia, breaking news, they have beaten Pakistan by 41 runs. Mitchell Starc took a couple of late wickets to clinch the win for them. So let's get started then, and I welcome Tom Beaumont into the studio. He's I think he was City of Ely skipper last season, am I right? And we had him on the end of season preview show, but not this season. But he is coming to the studio to talk all about City of Ely. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Ollie.
Yeah, let's start then. What a start to the season. It was a pretty good end to the season, actually. Obviously winning Senior 3 Division last year. Doing all right in Senior 2 as well. Great start. Played 6-1-6.
Yeah, can't argue at all. We've started off really well, continued from where we left off last season. Obviously, step up for us in division, but we've handled it really well. We've kept most of the team together from last season. And yeah, we're very positive, but only a third of the way through the season at the moment. So won't get carried away just yet.
Yeah, and you actually been not a go at me, but you did pick up on this off air. When we did the end of season review, I managed to pick up the first question I asked Tom was actually about losing the last game of the season, but it was purely because he had won every game up until then. So won almost every game last season, bar one. And if you count those games and then all your matches this season, played 24 games and only lost one, 123. So a brilliant record.
Yeah, superb. It's been a really good time to be involved in Ely. It wasn't myself captain last year, unfortunately. I wish I could take the credit for that. But it was Michael Sellers' first year as captain last year. We managed to get a few new players in last year, which we've, as I say, kept the majority of them together this year. And yeah, it's gone really well. And not just for us at first team level, but the second team were promoted last year and are top of their league again this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, all in all, it's a very good time to be involved in Ely Cricket Club.
Yeah, certainly so. And I remember actually talking to you on the end of season review, and you mentioned a lot of those sort of new players you've managed to keep or have signed, and the real hope was that you could keep them this season. And by the sounds of what you just said, you managed to do that.
Yeah, pretty much. We lost one player, Greg Blake, who was a key player for us last year, who I spoke about actually on the last time we were on. Unfortunately, he went back to Australia. We managed to get a player in, Ollie Sellers from Wilburton, who's really improved our bowling attack this year and taken us to another level with that side of the field. But yeah, generally speaking, we've kept together the same side. And, I mean, it's pretty much been a team effort all season. People are taking wickets, people are scoring runs. We're not carrying anyone in the side.
Mm.
And I think that makes a big difference, to be honest, when you've got 11 potential match winners.
Yeah, and the side you beat to the title last season, Will Burton, they went up with you. And it looks as though they're going to be challenging you for most of the way this season as well.
Yeah, it does. Like I say, they were second in the league last year to us. The only team to beat us last season. But yeah, they're second in the league again this year, so they seem to have adapted to the league just as well as we have. We know that they've got a lot of quality. We'll have to be at our best to beat them when we take them on this coming Saturday. And yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, more on that in a bit. In terms of the difference in level, then obviously you'd look at it and you just look at the tables and think, oh, one senior three, top of senior two, there's not a lot of difference. Have you noticed as a side any difference in the divisions?
I don't think there's been a huge amount this year, largely due to the restructuring they did of the leagues last season. So actually, four teams went up from senior three last year, including ourselves, as opposed to just the normal two. So as well as ourselves and Will Burton, we had Newport and Horseheath both came up.
Who are now fourth and fifth as
exactly.
well in senior two.
I think it kind of showed that actually the teams that we played last year are actually going to be the top teams again this year. So we haven't noticed a huge difference, but there's some good sides in there. The likes of Chatteris as well are going very well. I think Histon will be a decent side as well at times this season. Obviously it depends for them who they can get out with it being their second team. So there are some good sides out there, but I don't think there's been a massive step up from three to two. Perhaps that's just this year with the restructuring.
Yeah, restructuring seems to come up every week on this show, especially with all that's going on in the Whiting's divisions. In terms of your view on it, Tom, where do you sit? Because I guess that the restructuring doesn't really affect the senior divisions or the junior divisions directly, but it has a knock-on effect in terms of the structure of the divisions at the top and then how that filters down. What's your take on it? How do you think it should be structured?
I guess difficult one for, like you say, we're not involved in the Whiting's League as such. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's now more sides in the Whiting's League than there were last year.
I think that there's more divisions. There's nine teams now, so they only play 16 games,
okay.
Which has been one of the sticking points with a few players in the division, in the teams.
Yeah, you'd like to be playing every week if that's what I think you're trying to allude to there, that there's weeks missing. I think at that kind of level you want to be playing every week. I guess it's okay at certain lower levels where players are perhaps less committed to playing. But yeah, if that's an issue, I think I'd agree with that. We'd like to be playing every week.
Yeah, and commitment doesn't seem to be a problem at City Vealey at the minute. It seems to be a problem across a few teams in the county, but not at City Vealey. Like you see, in terms of your bit of a history, you fell out of Senior 2 in 2016. Back then now, it doesn't look like you want to stick around, though. You sort of want to head up and push on even further, potentially into Senior 1 next year.
Yeah, indeed. That's the aim. That's the aim we set ourselves at the start of the season. You mentioned that we came down a few years back. We'd been in Senior 2 for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think getting relegated was sort of the perhaps kick up the backside that we needed. And we sat down at the time and said where we wanted to go as a club. And that was to end up being a Whiting's League club again. Which I think at the time there was a few people that were a bit sceptical that could happen. Certainly as potentially quickly as it we seem to be getting through the leagues at the moment. So yeah, Whiting's is the aim. But yeah, at the moment we're taking Senior 2 every game as it comes.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly, yeah. And was there any particular moment that you can put your finger on where that sort of emphasis of ambition changed? Because you said, I guess, relegation gave you a bit of a kick up the backside, but was there any moment in terms of perhaps bringing in new players? Was there a change of direction that really meant that you were pushing up through the senior division?
I think there was a big change. The first season we had in Senior 3 was really with the same attitude as before, and it wasn't good enough for us to get back to where we wanted to be. So before the start of last season, we appointed a professional coach to come in and do some work with us over the winter. Like you said, we picked up a lot of new players as well. We just kind of took things a bit more seriously than we had done before, particularly on the trading side of things through the winter, which meant we could make a quick start to the season, which we'd not always done it, you know, without having too many kind of proper net sessions and proper training sessions. It would take you three or four games to get into the swing of things again. So I think that was a big change in direction for us to actually go out and kind of look for somebody like that who could really help us throughout the whole year.
Yeah, let's talk then about Saturday and the present then, or the very recent past, and one of the only sides who won on the weekend. One of my reasons behind getting you on the show, one was because of how well City Vealey are doing, but also because it was one of very few games that are on this weekend. But a brilliant win against Buntingford. Unfortunately for them, they do seem to be currently having lost six of their six, the whipping boys of the league. But, you know, comprehensive nonetheless, no banana skin slipped on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned obviously the rain took out a lot of games this week. We had a very delayed start, but I think we were always confident, knowing our ground as we do, that it drains very quickly. And if the rain stopped, we could get a game on. Fortunately for us, Buntingford were equally happy to to wait around for a little bit to do that, because I'm sure, as you say, plenty of teams who hadn't won a game this season would have been straight out of there. So absolutely credit to them for sticking around with us. Yeah, once the game started, yeah, it took us a while to get going. I'll say it was still a bit damp at times, and the bowlers run up, so I think they were struggling a little bit to start with. But yeah, once we hit our straps, we were very good with the ball. Got them out for 83, which was obviously a lot less than you'd normally consider a winning score, even in a 30-over game, reduced as it was. So yeah, at that point, I think we always had confidence we'd be able to chase it down.
Yeah, and interestingly, like you said, a 30-over game. How did you find it? Did you find it much different from a 40-over game? Or 45, isn't it?
It's 45, yeah.
So much different from that? Was it a noticeable difference?
I think because we were bowling first, we were fielding first, and they were batting, so they were setting the score. And I just think it was noticeable for us that sort of their run rate, we felt, was not high enough for a 30 over game. As it happens, they were all out within the overs, so maybe that was a factor to that. So I don't think this particular game perhaps showed the difference as much as it could have done if it was a higher scoring game, because yeah, like you say, it could have easily been a quick run rate sort of game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's interesting because we talk a lot about the direction of sort of senior cricket and junior cricket should go. 30 overs is one of the things that's been talked about. Would you welcome that, or do you prefer, I guess, the longer format? Would you prefer the 45 over and being out in the field and batting for a bit longer?
Yeah, in the senior leagues that we play in, I think we'd all, in terms of our team, rather stay at 45 overs. Certainly for me as a batsman, I'd like to have a bit longer to play myself in before I have to start playing the few shots that I've got. But certainly I think it could be looked at in certain lower divisions to encourage participation in it, which of course is what we all want at the end of the day. But I think once you get to senior league, I think you want to be sticking at 45 overs.
Yeah, I think that's probably the general consensus of what we hear. Mm. In terms of guys in form, well, where do I start? There's loads of guys in form. In terms of the averages, I checked earlier in the leagues, there's about five guys averaging over 30, yourself being one of them as well. So lots of guys batting and batting well.
Yeah, like I said at the start, we've got a whole team of match winners, really. And when one person doesn't step up, somebody else does. Like you say, it's been an impressive start to the season. I think we'd like to have had a couple of those. We've got a lot of 50s this season in the top five, not 100 yet. So I think that perhaps is the next step for us. We'd like to take somebody on to get that really big 100. But yeah, the fact that we're all contributing, we all look in pretty decent nick, bodes well for the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, just want someone to buy the jugs of beer at the pub afterwards.
Knowing then, they'd probably refuse anyway.
I mean, like I say, loads of guys in it, and particularly impressive when we've spoke a lot about batting has been very difficult for a lot of sides this year, especially throughout the senior and junior, and even in the Whitings divisions. This weekend, though, as you mentioned at the top of the interview, it's the biggie, really, isn't it? Will Burton. You could say the title decider, but I'm not going to say that yet. First v second, Ely have, of course, played 6-1-6. Will Burton lost just the one so far, but it really is, if you're talking football terms, a six-pointer.
Yeah, it's a big game for us. Obviously, there's a bit of local rivalry there as well between us. I think it's a bit early to christen it as a title decider. Chatteris are there, having not lost a game yet as well, but they've just lost a couple to the weather, hence they're below Will Burton at the moment. But yeah, we know Will Burton very well from the last few seasons, so we kind of know what to expect, I think. But it's a big game for us, definitely, and I'm sure they'll be treating it the same way. Hopefully the weather will hold off and we can actually get it on and see who the better side is on the day.
Let's hope so. Anything you can learn from last year's matches? I mean, obviously people say you learn more from a defeat. I guess that's probably still quite raw in your mind towards the back end of last season, desperately wanting to go unbeaten. Is there anything you can take from that and learn from it going into this one?
Yeah, definitely. We played them twice, obviously, last season, and we played very well at home against them to get a pretty comfortable win. And then, yeah, slipped up over there. I think we bowled fairly well over there. It was really the batting that let us down. And it was kind of that we were out of the game by halfway through the innings, in reality. We let their opening bowlers bowl at us. We should have perhaps been a bit more positive against them. But equally, when their change bowlers came on, a lot of us who'd already been dismissed, kind of cursing our luck or poor shot selection. So I think perhaps we need to be aware that it is a 45-over game. Well, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah.
I think their opening bowlers last year were very good. Fortunately, we've managed to take one of them for this season, which is always useful.
Always nice.
So I think perhaps some of their change bowlers not quite the same reputation as their opening bowlers. So if we can get through them with wickets still in hand, hopefully we can kick on.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much,
Tom. We'll hear more from you later on the show when we talk England. For now, sit back, relax, and test yourself at the quiz later on, because there is absolutely no pressure at all, because the last three guys have got naught.
Oh dear.
So, yeah, which isn't great. We'll try it later on. But now, after this short break, we're going to try and get hold of Cambridge Cricket Club captain Lewis Hill. Yeah, welcome back to From the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm delighted to say I'm joined now by Cambridge Cricket Club captain Lewis Hill. Thanks for coming on the show, Lewis.
No worries, thanks for having me.
Yeah, firstly, I guess the question to ask is what did you get up to on the weekend, obviously with all games, or pretty much all games being abandoned and foul to the weather?
Yeah, I mean, we unfortunately had to travel to Norfolk, to Great Wychenham, to watch the rainfall, but I guess it wasn't all bad. We got to have a bit of lunch before coming home. So, but apart from that, I think most of the lads just got back and watched the World Cup, watched the England game.
Yeah, I guess that was the thing to do. Right, I guess the only thing to talk about then is this weekend, and bottom of the league, Vauxhall Mallards is next up for Cambridge Cricket Club. What are your thoughts going into the match, Lewis? What are you expecting coming up against bottom of the league, Vauxhall Mallards?
Obviously, take nothing for granted. They've obviously got some match winners in the team. Bradshaw has obviously been around in the league for many years now, and he's leading wicket taker, I think, for all time. So, we've got to watch out for blokes like him, especially on what has been a tricky wicket at Clare College this year. So he's going to be, probably leading their bowling attack. So, you can't take any team for granted in the Premier League. It's always a difficult game every weekend, so we're going to have our wits about us and make sure we put in a good performance.
Yeah, I guess in terms of sort of how you played recently, it'd be really nice, obviously, to get a win with no win in a bit of a while, but also, I guess, win with a statement as well. If you can try and get, I guess, 250-plus, obviously that would be nice, but the last time you did get a sort of a 250-plus score was the second week against Saffron Walden. I know you've had a couple of really close losses in terms of one-wicket losses, but I guess it would be nice if you can get that win to try and make it an emphatic one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like you say, we've had a couple of close losses, which has been disappointing. And obviously, we had another close loss in the national competition on Sunday against Swordstone, which again, losing three games on the trot like that is probably not very common. We've been quite unlucky, I feel. But that's sort of testament to the cricket we are playing. We are playing good cricket, I feel. So, we definitely want to get a win on the board on Saturday, and to make it an emphatic one would be good. So, yeah, we definitely will be aiming to put in a performance, and like you say, score 250-plus and, aim to bowl Mallards out as cheaply as possible.
Yeah, and obviously it has been so frustrating, obviously, because of those sort of one-wicket losses. And you started, obviously, really well, three wins in your first five. Then the form has sort of stuttered a little bit. But like I said, it has been those narrow misses. What really can you do as skipper when it is, I guess, just the fine margins going against you, I guess, and you're not really getting the rub of the green?
Yeah, I feel in those situations it's quite easy to sort of overanalyze your performance. It's easy to pick apart your performance when you've lost and kind of not say anything when you win. So I'm always a bit hesitant to say we could have done X or Y a lot better. Sometimes, it's like you say, it comes down to a moment here or there, or a 10-over period where if we'd maybe been slightly tighter, then obviously we could have come away with a win or something like that. But I'm always a bit conscious of micro-analysing performances when they are that close, because, obviously it's a good game of cricket, and to come out on the losing side, I think it's just been a bit unfortunate. A few decisions maybe gone against us. We'll be looking to put that right on Saturday.
Yeah, and we're sort of talking a bit like it's a bit doom and gloom, but in effect you're sixth in the table. Top of I guess the Cambridgeshire side and the league as well, doing really well in that fact. So it's not all doom and gloom, and if you get a win on the weekend, you'll be closing the gap to the top three again.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, sixth of the table, so literally bang in the middle of the 12. So always nice to be leading the way from the local teams. Like you say, the table's forever changing. But I think from probably fourth down to you know, probably eighth or something, eighth, ninth, something like that. It's very close. So one win can change, you know, the table, how it looks dramatically. So, yeah, we were definitely looking to ideally get 30 points on the board and push ourselves up towards fourth or third.
Yeah, hopefully you can, Lewis. Thanks for coming on. Wish you all the best for the weekend against Vauxhall Mallards.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you. Lewis Hill there, the Kemps Cricket Club captain. Our usual, I guess you could say, talker was Johnny Atkinson, not available today. He did say he's playing midweek, but with this weather, actually, you know, it wasn't midweek this time. I think it was he was planning some sort of something to do with his wedding. So clearly got other priorities, which is understandable. I'm not going to ridicule him for that. But great for Lewis to step up as skipper, as the responsibility has to do. Right, after these ad breaks, we'll get a track and then get James Williams on the phone to quiz him and talk Cambridgeshire this weekend.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to From the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio, live from Gwydir Street here. Tom Beaumont is joining me in the studio. We chatted Ely earlier on, and he did say his brother played for Suffolk on the weekend, as did our next caller, Ben Harris, Saffron Walden skipper. Ben, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, good evening, Ollie. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. You?
Yeah, not too bad. Wish the weather would disappear, but
yeah.
About that.
Exactly, yeah. Strange doing a cricket show when there were hardly any fixtures on the weekend and it's chucking it down again this evening. So let's talk then, a tiny bit then, about the weekend. I guess there isn't much to talk about. Your game against Copdock and Old Ipswichian was postponed. So a pretty boring weekend for you, I guess.
Yeah, or Saturday, it's frustrating. You know, getting a win over a side who are in a similar situation to us, you know, in the middle table, you know, it was almost like a 60-point game because, you know, if you win, you kick a long way clear of them. So, yeah, it was frustrating not to be able to get out there, but, you know, that's not to say that, you know, we would have won necessarily. They're a good side as well. You just want to play cricket at the end of the day, and shame that you can't do anything about the weather, really.
Yeah, you did manage to get in a bit of action, though, on the weekend, though, obviously playing for Suffolk in the T20s against Hertfordshire. Obviously lost the first match, unfortunately, then won the second match. Seems to be the way this year. Every side wins one and loses one. But you played with a certain Tim O'Mills as well. Did you have a quick net with him beforehand to test his speedometer out?
I tried to avoid that, actually. No, it was a really, you know, it was a great honour to represent Suffolk and, you know, a pleasure to, and a great experience to play in a team with, you know, an England cricketer such as Timo. You know, just the way he carries himself, his presence, and the skills he has, of course, with the ball, you know, it was really, really good to be around, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I guess an added extra, if there is any, when you're facing a 90-plus mile-per-hour bowler, but kind of against an England international, which must be pretty scary as well. But being on his side is a good place to be, Ben. In terms of then going back to Saffron Walden, you've scored some pretty big totals early on in the season, less so in recent weeks. And obviously, coming up this weekend again against Horsford, obviously you'd like to then get back to scoring those big totals. Why do you think, I guess, you've had a bit of a dip with those sort of totals?
Well, you know, cricket's a funny game. It's all to do with pitch, opposition, you know, how you guys play yourself. I think the last couple of weeks, especially at home against Sudbury and away at Frinton, we just lacked a little of bit of application. They were our first two time games. I think 7 of our 11 players had never played a time game before. So just getting used to the way that, you know, those they plan out. And I think, you know, we're probably more suited to 50 over cricket, in all honesty. But, you know, with a bit more experience in the time game, I think we'll learn, you know, how to go about it, how to play your cards and when. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, of course. And we spoke a bit, or Callum spoke to you a bit last week about the time matches and how you sort of won the toss and elected to bat first. And he asked whether you're thinking about chasing. Is it something you go into this weekend's game thinking, if I win the toss, I will chase? Or will you obviously look at the pitch, see what conditions are like and go from there?
Yeah, definitely the latter. I think, you know, Going with that mentality is a sign of weakness and probably a sign of not having faith in your batters, which I do. Every team has an off weekend or off couple of games. You know, as you saw England not being able to chase against Pakistan, for example. I think it's a case of going there, having a look at the Horsford deck. I think the high score this year there is only 200. I say only, but, you know, in modern cricket, that's not exactly a lot. So, you know, that probably gives you a few clues of how the wicket's playing. I think there was a couple of T20s there this weekend where a 78 was posted in the first innings and the chasing team scrambled home off the last ball. So, you know, I think it's a case of getting there, having a look at it, seeing what it does and then go from there, really.
Yeah, going up against Horsford, as we said, third bottom in the division, similar to Cambridge, really, who play bottom of the league, Vauxhall Mallards. I guess you're not going to take them lightly at all. Do you know much about them at all?
About Horsford?
Yeah.
The fact that they're on Sudbury and Frinton close the last two games is actually, you know, probably their place in the table probably doesn't quite give them credit as a side. I know a couple of their players obviously play for Norfolk as well, so some really talented match-winning players in the side.
Seem to be struggling to lose Ben there. Clearly a poor reception. We'll see if we can get him on a bit later on, but obviously he pretty much, as he said there before, it was pretty much the last question anyway, talking about Horsford and the fact that their league position doesn't really suit how they've been playing recently. Like I said, I have a couple of close matches and I'm sure he won't be taking them lightly. So after this quick break, we'll begin James Williams on the phone to talk Cambridgeshire. We spoke a bit about Suffolk then. Well, Cambridgeshire in T20 action this weekend. They can qualify for finals day. We'll see how they go for this short break.
Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Welcome back to From the Pavilion. Unfortunately, like I say, just lost Ben Harris. We'll see if we have time to fit him in and just finish off that interview later on. But like you said, looking forward to the fixture against Horsford this weekend. Wants the weather to clear up as well, don't we all? Well, let's get to Cambridgeshire then. And they're in action this weekend against Bedfordshire in a T20 doubleheader. I'm delighted to say that Captain James Williams joins me on the phone now. Thanks. Come on, James.
Good evening.
How are you, mate? You good?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad.
Yeah, I bet you're looking forward to Sunday. A doubleheader against Bedfordshire, and once again in this precocious situation where you could qualify for T20 finals day.
Yeah, a bit of deja vu, really. Similar situation to last year, needing to win two games. And, you know, we obviously need a few more results to go our way as well this year. But, you know, we're looking forward to it. Hopefully the weather clears up and we can get two games in and hopefully get two wins in.
Yeah, have you worked out the permutations yet? I imagine it's going to go down to the wire. I guess you've got to take the view that you are going to win both games, assuming that is the case. And then, there's two ways you go about it. Suffolk could win both of their games and you bet them on run rate, or they win one each and then you bet Hertfordshire on run rate.
Yeah, we're hoping, you know, either way, we need Hertfordshire to mess up at some stage, whether they lose one or whether they lose two to Norfolk. And we need to make sure that we win two, and we win convincingly. Hertfordshire have got a slightly better net run rate than us, so we've got to go out there, be positive, like we've talked about all through the season so far, playing that positive mindset, and hopefully getting two good wins on the board, so we can push our net run rate up and hopefully push Hertfordshire.
Yeah, hopefully so. Tim Moses made his debut last time out against Norfolk. He impressed, didn't he? With the bat in particular, and I imagine obviously he'll be, if available, playing again this weekend.
Yeah, he is available this weekend. Yeah, I think I said in a previous interview, I haven't seen much of Tim. I played against him on the Saturday. I'd seen enough playing against him on Saturday as source of punters. But, you know, he's a very, very good cricketer. When you've got someone at 6'9", bowls like that, bats as well as what he does, he could easily bat in our top order. And he's also good in the field as well. You know, he's a great acquisition for us. And hopefully we should see a lot of him for Cambridgeshire this summer.
Yeah, hopefully so. What is selection like ahead of this weekend, James?
Yeah, good. I must admit, we've had a few selection issues. You know, it's nice to have selection issues, having, you know,
good selection meetings, having people pushing for spots. Unfortunately, Conor Craig misses out this week due to an injury. He missed out in the one day against Norfolk a couple of weeks ago. His knee's not quite right, so we're going to rest him up. And Eddie Ballard comes back into the team after a couple of weeks out.
Yeah, good to see him back. And in terms of your Whitewall stuff, assuming qualification this Sunday, quarterfinals of the 50 over comp as well. We spoke about it in the season preview. You want to focus on the Whitewall side. If, fingers crossed, you qualify this weekend, it's all going pretty well.
Yeah, like we said, we wanted to really push hard in our white ball cricket. We were disappointed how the T20 stuff went last year, falling at the last hurdle. And then white ball in 50-over cricket, we've been poor for a number of years. So we have put a lot of emphasis on this, and it's great to have the availability of so many local players in that squad and really performing as well. You know, we've had some really good wins. The win in the 50-over game against Norfolk was fantastic, you know. We look like we're struggling, and great death bowling from two lads there that got us out of a hole. And we go to Knipersley in a few weeks' time against us, and you know, we want to go as far as we possibly can in this competition.
Yeah, hopefully you can do it, and hopefully you can qualify, like I said, finals day on Sunday, and sort of remove the scars of last year's heartbreak. Right, James, this isn't the only reason you're on today. are you looking forward to being tested? How's your knowledge? How's your cricket knowledge?
Oh, I'm not much of a badger as likes of Rippington or people like that, but I'll give it a go.
He is the only badger so far, James. scored 28.
He's a student. He sits there in front of the internet all day looking at cricket stuff, but he's all right.
All right, well, if you can score one, then you will be better than our last three contestants, but it's not easy. It's right. A tricky quiz. Right, so we've got a one-minute round where we'll ask you as many questions as we can fit in, and we'll run through your answers. The score you get in that one-minute round, well, then you'll get an opportunity to double that with each correct answer you get in a top 10 table. So we'll tell you your top 10 table in a minute, but firstly, we've got the one-minute round. Tom, instead of Callum, is going to be keeping count of the scores, so I'm sure his maths is better than Callum, so you're in safe hands. are you ready? Are you ready? Ready and waiting?
Ready as I ever will be.
Cool. So the clock will start. The clock will start when I ask the first question. So, in 2000, who was the only bowler to be selected as one of the five Wisden cricketers of the century?
Oh, 2000. Andy Caddick.
Shane Warne. Who is bottom of the County Championship Division 1?
Worcestershire.
Incorrect. Knots. Who's the most runs for Wisbech Town Cricket Club so far this season?
Well, on Saturday league cricket, me.
League cricket, including Sundays.
Oh, Sunday. Danny Haynes.
Correct. There we go. Which former England cricketer played for Papua New Guinea in the 2012 ICC World Cup T20 qualifiers in the UAE? Which England cricketer played for Papua New Guinea?
Park.
It was Geraint Jones. Who won the Unicorns T20 last season?
Oh, Berkshire.
Yeah, correct. Which cricket captain of South Africa in the early 90s after playing 24 tests for Australia in the 80s?
Tony Greig.
No, it's Kepler Vessels. Running up to the nearest 10, how many games of cricket in the Counties Premier League were played on Saturday? How many got past the weather?
There was only one.
In the Counties Premier League, all the divisions, senior, junior?
20.
That's bang on, correct. And lastly, which county play at the Riverside?
Durham.
Correct, good answer there as well. Tom, how many did he get?
He got four correct.
Four correct there, James. So, right, let's move on to your top 10 then, and your top 10 this week. I was trying to find, like, a nice one to try and make sure someone gets a score and we don't get four ducks in a row.
I'm not sure you've managed it.
But I didn't want to try and make it too easy. But England play West Indies on Friday at down at Hampshire, and we want to know the top 10 West Indian highest run scorers in one-day international cricket. So, it's not in World Cups, it's all one-day internationals, and I want the top or the top 10. You can take as long as you want. We have got to play the adverts in about 4 minutes, so, but you can take as long as you want, and you can submit answers. You can declare as well at any point. If you give a wrong answer, I have to wipe away all your points, unfortunately.
Okay.
So when you are ready,
Lara.
What do you say?
Brian Lara.
You are correct. One right.
Chris
so
Gale.
4 points. Correct. 8 points.
Shandepaul.
Correct. 12 points. We're getting somewhere. Come on.
Viv Richards.
Correct. 16 points. Here we go. Come on.
Gordon Greenidge.
He's 10th on the list, just squeezes in. It's 20 points. So I can't obviously influence you, but considering this is the first score we've had in 4 weeks, James.
There could be one more, but I don't know whether I should declare or not.
You've got it, James. Go for it.
What do you think, Tom?
I think he's got to go for it.
Well, Rips has got 28, but you've got 20. But I just can't face another nought. It's up to you, James. Really.
We can't have Rips topping the list any longer.
No, absolutely not. He needs to be knocked off. Ramnaresh Sarwan.
24.
No, I'm stuffed.
So think carefully. Think carefully, James. Again, you can declare. To be fair, considering the form of everyone else, you could have quite easily finished now and you get second place and that would be for the season. But Sam Riffington is top of the table, 28.
Yeah, we can't have Rips. We can't have Rips in.
Are you going to gamble all your points, though?
I think I'm going to have to declare. I've gone a blank.
Declaring?
Yeah, I'm going to declare.
That is music to my ears, James. Thank you. 20. How many points is it, just to confirm, Tom?
It was 24 points.
24 points. I'll run through the top 10. If you could have had another guess, who would you have said, James?
Clive Lloyd.
Well, it's a good thing you declared. It's a very good thing you declared.
That was the only name that came in my
22nd head. In the list. I'll run through the top 10. Brian Lara's top with 10,348. Then, of course, Chris Gayle, 10,167. Chander Paul in next, 8,778. You've got Haynes in next, 8,648. Viv Richards, the legend himself, 6,721. In sixth place is Richardson, 6,248. You said Sarwan, he was seventh on the list with 5,804. Next was Hooper, 5,761. Marlon Samuels squeaks in number nine, 5,606. And then your answer of Greenwich snuck in there, 10th on the list, 5,134 runs. So very well done, James. You are second in the list. I'm delighted as we've got a score. And congratulations, mate. Well done.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
And I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, see you Sunday.
Cheers, James. James Williams there, Cambridgeshire County Cricket Club captain. I did say see you Sunday, and in case you're wondering what we've got coming up on Sunday, here is what Cambridge 105 will be doing on Sunday over at Bedford Cricket Club.
After heartbreak last year, Cambridgeshire are on the cusp of making T20 finals day once again. Two wins against Bedfordshire could be enough to see them qualify.
Exactly down his throat, and it's a wicket for Sam Ripson.
This Sunday, Cambridgeshire play Bedfordshire in a Unicorns T20 doubleheader. Join us for full coverage live from Bedford Cricket Club.
Six to end the match. What a win. Cambridgeshire have evened things up.
T20 cricket, Sunday from 10 a.m. on Cambridge 105 Radio and continuing online.
With Record Collection there. Great track from Kaiser Chiefs. And we're moving on now and we're talking Bowen Lexing with skipper Joe Tetley. He joined us on the line. Thanks for on the show, Joe.
No worries, you alright?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good, yeah. It's me doing the question this week. We know Callum, he's off playing cricket somewhere. What a poor excuse. But another game sort of to fall to the weather on the weekend. So disappointing, obviously, to see it abandoned, but I guess nothing you can do, you just sitting and watching the rain pour down.
No, it was pretty torrential all morning, so there's one of the ways you sit there and you just sort of suck it up and off you go.
Yeah, and in terms of this weekend, we'll turn our attention to it with not much else to talk about. Bit of a local derby against Mildenhall as well, so of course, obviously, the fact that you'd like to get a few wins on the ball, there's that added spice with a bit of a derby.
Yeah, I think definitely see that. I think having a week out as well might freshen us up a bit. Hopefully we can get the win again. Get winning ways going. But yeah, it's being local is always nice, I think, as well. A bit more, a bit closer to home, and sort of you do get pumped up a little bit.
Yeah, and you've scored plenty of runs in the last two matches. You've got 296 and then 301 as well. So scored loads of runs in those matches. I think what Callum alluded to sort of last week as well, just haven't really been able to back that up with the bowling. Is it something that I guess you've been trying to address in nets and practice, or is it just you know, you back your bowlers to perform on the day?
I think we just haven't put a full performance in. There's been sort of performances where the batters haven't backed it up as well. So sprinting away, we could have chased that down and we didn't chase that down. And Saffron Walden, we didn't chase that down. So there's been games where the bowlers have done the job and the batters haven't. But yeah, I think especially in those two games. We would have liked to have, you know, got a few more wickets and pushed the game a bit more. But it's been raining all week, so I wouldn't expect 300 to come out from us. So it's going to be tricky this Saturday, I think, at Millmore, because it's going to be wet everywhere, I think.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some cricket on. And, you know, we're talking about getting some wins on the ball, but equally, the league is still very, very tight. You're sitting in ninth place currently, but I think there's, about 11 points between you and fifth as well. So it's very, very tight. And, you know, you get a win a couple of sides above, you drop points, and it's looking pretty good again.
That's always the case, I think, in the league. I think in that middle pit, in the middle section of the league, it's really tight all the way through. You always get a few that run off winning every game, and fair play to them. But then the middle teams sort of all clump together, and it's always tight all the way to the end. So you keep picking up points whichever way, even when you're losing, especially in this format, you can walk away with quite a few points. You can still be up there or still mid-table, you know, comfortably.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on, Joe. Apologies, pretty short this week. We're a bit tight for time, but thanks for coming on, and hopefully next week get you back on the phone and talk about a win.
Perfect. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Thank you, Joe. Joe Tetley there, Bo Lexington's skipper. They are playing again this weekend. Obviously, unfortunately, it's rained off last week, as was many. They take on Mildon, like I said, a bit of a local derby. Let's get to the national chat. Bring Tom back in at last, waiting very patiently. We are tight for time, but the group is slowly starting to form nicely, Tommy, in sort of the manner that everyone expected. If you had to pick a top four, it'd probably be that New Zealand, Australia, England and India.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually the top four I said it would be before the start. I know it's easy to say that now, but it was. But yeah, I think you're fine with the format that we've got this year with everyone playing everyone. I think the cream of the crop does tend to rise to the top. So yeah, I think it's not unexpected to see those four teams up there.
And England, Windies, Friday. It's going to be a big test for England's batsmen, who did struggle against that pace attack in the Windies, I think, around February, March time. So, I mean, it's probably, you'd assume it'd be a belter of a pitch down at Hampshire. It usually is. So hopefully they can, I guess, remove some of the scars from that sort of ODI series earlier in the year.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? I think the whole thing of the kind of recovery of our one-day team under Owen Morgan has been the kind of positivity that they're taking, particularly with the batting. So I don't expect them to shy from a challenge. The West Indies, I mean, it's just velocity everywhere in that team, isn't there? There's, you know, they hit the ball miles, they bowl very fast. They're a dangerous side to take on. But I'm feeling confident for England, I think, on Friday.
Yeah, and before we go on to a bit more controversial topic, Moeen or the extra seamer? Who are you going for in the 11?
Well, I think, obviously, they went for the extra seamer last time, mostly because of the conditions.
Yep.
I would expect Moeen to be back in to the side. I don't think he's batted particularly well recently, but I think it gives more of a balance to the side, having him at number seven, having those two spinners as well, because he bowled nicely last week up at in Nottingham when you and I were both at that game. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I want to, I guess, a two-word answer for the people listening on Saturday when the show gets repeated. Sri Lanka playing Australia on Saturday, so Africa, Afghanistan, pick two winners from that.
Reluctantly Australia. And, South Africa not going well, but I'm going South Africa.
All right, then. And Bale's booing and bad weather seems to be a bit of the talking points. Bale's, they are not moving. There's not much talk about there, but the bad weather, I guess, what can you do? There's talk about putting reserve days in the next World Cup. But booing, do you think Steve Smith and David Warner should be booed?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? They served their punishment of what they did. At the same time, I don't recall the Australians holding back from booing Stuart Broad when we were over there last time. So I've not got too much of a problem with it. I've got family in Australia, actually, and they're constantly telling me how none of them like David Warner either. So no, I don't have too much of a problem with it. Let's give it to them as they've given it to us for many years. As long as it doesn't get too nasty, I think it should be fine.
Yeah, let's just get a quick word from Aaron Finch, who was speaking earlier. He said that he expects it, and it's a bit of sport. And this is what he had to say about the booing instance.
Regardless of whether they get booed or cheered, it doesn't faze them too much. I know talking to them, it's a part of the game, unfortunately, that it's going to keep coming up. So sometimes it's best to just not poke the bear, but we know it's going to happen.
And a quick word from Trevor Bayliss too, talking about Josh Butler and his fitness ahead of the Friday match against West Indies.
He'll be taking part in today's practice fully, so it was a little bit precautionary the other day. He said he could have kept. Wasn't real sure whether he would have been able to sprint after a high catch, but he'll be fine.
That was That was Trevor Bayliss talking there at Josh Butler. 20 seconds left of the show to run through the honours board. Nice and tight with time. Top of the bowling honours board on the weekend was Oliver Tilbrook for Chatteris. Congratulations, 6 for 33. And the batting was James Atkinson for Dullingham. 127 scored on probably a soggy wicket. Very well done. Tom, thank you very much for coming into studio. Up next is Tim Will at the New Music Generator. And if you're listening on Saturday, it's Bums on Seats. I'll see you on Sunday with the T20s.